بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Radio Ramadan Croydon on 87.9 FM. We have live with us all the way from Turkey a representative from the Harun Yahya Group, Brother Ali Sadun Engin. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, Brother Ali.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
How are you doing, Brother Ali?
Alhamdulillah, very well. Yourself?
Alhamdulillah, with your pious prayers and du'as, we are all doing well here at Radio Ramadan Croydon on 87.9 FM. Thanks for taking our time and making yourself available on Radio Ramadan Croydon and allowing us to question you and introducing yourself as well as your group.
Inshallah.
Okay, brother. Since we have very minimum time, going straight ahead to the questions that we have in front of us. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, as an introduction to yourself, to our listeners of Radio Ramadan Croydon, could you please share a few words with us? Who are you? Where are you from? The group that you come, the individual or the group that you represent?
Okay, inshallah. My name is Ali Sadun Engin, and I'm a student of Brother Adnan Oktar. Adnan Oktar is a Muslim author who's living in Istanbul, Turkey, and he is using the pen name Harun Yahya. So we are based in Istanbul, Turkey, and I'm a member of a group which is called Science Research Foundation. I'm a member of that foundation. And I joined the Science Research Foundation in 1993. And for about 20 years, inshallah, we are trying to communicate the views of Brother Adnan Oktar. And so far, starting from the year 1998, I've been around to lecture about the facts, scientific facts, evidences for creation, and the scientific representation of the theory of evolution. And nationally, as well as in different countries, like more than 20-25 different countries, including the UK, I've joined more than 3-4 UK tours where we scientifically repeated the theory of evolution in different major universities such as Cambridge, Oxford, London School of Economics, and mashallah, it had a great impact. So this is basically what I do, inshallah, with the group.
Okay, inshallah. Jazakumullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts in spreading His word, the truth, across the four corners of the globe. Ameen.
Inshallah. All of us.
Okay. The first question, after obviously your short introduction, is the world knows Brother Harun Yahya as Harun Yahya. Now, you mentioned earlier on that his name is actually Adnan Oktar. So,
yes.
Is there a reason why he has selected the pen name Harun Yahya rather than becoming famous or introducing himself to the world with his real name Adnan Oktar?
Well, first of all, Brother Adnan Oktar is not a person who wants to speak so much about his personality or put his name, you know, in the front line. So he rather prefers to stay back. And as you can understand, when we go all around the world, he sends his spokesman to talk about his views. So you can understand that what is most important for him is the representation of his views, but not his personality. So this is why he doesn't use his own name. And moreover, Harun Yahya are the two names of the two prophets, Harun, who is the helper of our prophet Musa, alayhi salam, and Yahya, who is John, is the helper of Isa, alayhi salam. So, as for a prayer, to be the helper of our prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he chose the names of these two prophets who were the helpers of different prophets, inshallah.
Okay, Jazakumullah. The next question that we have, after you introduced yourself and spoke to us about the name of Brother Harun Yahya, could you please inform us about his formal education. Who is Brother Harun Yahya? Obviously, you've told us his name, his background, his education, his achievements, and so forth.
Okay. Brother Hasan Aksar was born in 1956 in Ankara, Turkey. Ankara is the capital of Turkey. And on 1979, when he was 23, he intentionally moved to Istanbul. Why? What was the reason? Because at that time, the heart, the center for atheist and materialistic ideologies were Istanbul. And in Istanbul, a special university, Mimar Sinan. Mimar Sinan is the name of the university. So this university intentionally joined the fine arts, the Department of Fine Arts, to study painting. And then, of course, he has continued to communicate Islam when he was there. And then, he studied as well, in philosophy, in Istanbul University. So this is his background.
Okay. Jazakumullah so much for introducing Brother Harun Yahya to us. The questions that we have in front of us after this brief introduction. Obviously, Brother Harun Yahya, he is toiling together with his group, introducing Islam, painting the correct picture of Islam, removing the grey areas and the dust that has settled and tarnished the picture of Islam. Through the works of Brother Harun Yahya, we have seen so much of impact that he needs no introduction, his works need no introduction, his group needs no introduction. Through his works, his writings, we have gathered that there is a rise in Islam. Could you perhaps explain through your experiences, most probably your personal experiences or the experiences of Brother Harun Yahya, why is there a rise of Islam more so in the West?
Yes, the reason for that is the reputation of irreligious ideologies like communism, fascism, and all these isms, all these ideologies, at the root lies Darwinism. For example, when we encounter, when we try to communicate Islam to a non-Muslim, to an irreligious person, when you analyze his mindset, you're going to see that the majority of them, they have a certain understanding of origin of life by chance and coincidence, or the theory of evolution. So, having that in mind, people don't get the reality because they have a so-called scientific explanation about the origin of life, which excludes the existence of Allah. So, if we don't show people that this is a scientific lie, I mean, if we don't refute the theory of evolution in their mind, we cannot go any further and tell about a beautiful illusion of Islam. So first of all, this is the sunnah of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he first goes into the city, he throws down the idols. So the idol of our current time, our current era, is science and the false application of science into our daily lives, which is the evolution. This is the so-called scientific explanation of the origin of life. So when once we refute it, people, they say, okay, now what? No, okay, what you're telling is scientifically correct, and then if we're not coming from ape-like creatures or we don't have a common ancestor, so what is your solution? Then people try to wonder what exactly the real explanation is, and then you can start communicating Islam. So this is what Brother Harun Yahya did, what Brother Adnan Oktar did. So he scientifically refuted the so-called scientific basis of atheism and materialism, which is the theory of evolution. And then, naturally, people start to think about it. Okay, if we see that there's no transitional forms, for example, we have today more than 350 million fossil pieces that shows us perfect creation but not evolution. They show that the examples that lived in many million years ago were identical to its living examples, which is no change at all, no evolution whatsoever. So when Brother Abdanota showed people these pieces of rocks, fossils, and showed that those were identical, and then people naturally started to think that, okay, if animals, if living species haven't changed at all, if evolution did not happen at all, okay, then they started pondering the thing. Right, there must be a creation, they said. So, of course, this is the scientific refutation of the theory of evolution, and of course, the real fact is creation by Allah. And when we show that scientifically, people immediately understood that, and then they turned back to religion, to they become closer to Allah. This is why in the Western world, in Europe especially, also in Far East, people are turning into Islam, people are turning into God, to Allah, inshallah.
Inshallah, alhamdulillah. We have seen the profound effects of the works of Brother Harun Yahya, who has... Brother Harun Yahya, through his knowledge and obviously through his group, he's refuted the theory of Darwinism and the theory, the false lie of evolution. Now, are all Muslims unanimous that the theory of evolution does not exist? There is no concept of evolution in Islam. In fact, in reality, there is no such thing as evolution.
No. In Islam, in nowhere in the Quran we see the idea of evolution. And, of course, if Allah had wanted, Allah could have created all living things, all species, through an evolutionary process. This is true, of course. It is easy for Allah. But what we are told in the Holy Quran is that there is no such thing, first of all. And then when you analyze the fossil record and all the scientific evidences, you don't see any scientific proof for that. So this is the second. So you don't see no evolution whatsoever in anywhere, which means Muslims today, they sometimes out of ignorance, they think that they have to reconcile the theory of evolution with Islam. This is not, you know, rational, because the main idea here that they think that the theory of evolution is scientific, first of all. But what we understand when we analyze microbiology, genetics, origin of life, paleontology, there is no scientific proof whatsoever that supports the theory of evolution. It is scientifically impossible, which means that their evolution is not scientific. So we don't have to reconcile the theory of evolution with Islam. There is no such thing. In fact, the theory of evolution is a pagan religion, which is, you know, which its roots goes back to the old Sumerians and Greek philosophers invented, you know, they just, their ideology were so similar to the theory of evolution. So, knowing this fact that the theory of evolution has got nothing to do with science, Muslims, they don't have to reconcile. It doesn't mean that Islam is against science. On the contrary, Islam supports science. So this is a fact that we can understand from the Quranic verses. But some Muslims, lack of information, they might think that the evolution might be scientific, which is not. And, of course, they are under the influence of the Darwinist propaganda. So we invite them to improve their knowledge about the evolution, how it is scientifically invalid and irrational, and then it is not acceptable. It is not acceptable to try to reconcile the evolution with Islam. Why? Because it is just for through this theory that a lot of people lost their faith in Allah, first of all. It is very dangerous. And in the past, for over 140, 50 years, there has been many Muslims who doubted about their religion. So this, the theory of evolution is the latest fitna, which is the latest mischief of the end times. And it is the religion of devil, of Satan. So we have to be very careful, and we have to improve our knowledge, if this is out of ignorance, of course. If there are some people who are intentionally doing that, of course, we can we have to say that their mindset is based on Darwinism, but not the idea of creation, inshallah.
Jazakumullah for that explanation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you said, protect us from this fitna that is indeed driving flocks of people away from worshipping one God, from denying and refuting this theory, this false theory of evolution and Darwinism. You know, you spoke about a few Muslims out of ignorance, or some, a handful of Muslims out of in not knowing, ignorance, as you said, following, in fact, backing and advocating this theory of evolution. Recently, since we are interviewing you live on Radio Ramadan Croydon, which is in London, there was an imam here in London that advocated Darwinism and the theory of evolution. And then we came across an American imam who actually signed a letter that was backing Darwinism. Have you heard of this? And what do you think about this?
Oh, yes. So Muslims who are trying to defend Darwinism, who are trying to back Darwinism, they have to explain us. Since they say that they fully believe in the Holy Quran, they have to explain us this. So if Allah created all the species through an evolutionary process, so they have to explain about how the jinns, the angels, are created. Did Allah create jinns and angels through an evolutionary process? No. That is not possible. I mean, what we see in the Holy Quran is totally different. Allah doesn't need any kind of process of evolution to create things. When we read the Quran, we understand that Allah creates with His order be. Allah says in a verse, when we want something to be created, we just order it be, and there it is, Allah says. So this is so clear. Allah creates with His command be. And then, moreover, there are different types of creation in the Holy Quran which is explained to us. Like, for example, the creation, the transformation of the rod of Musa alayhi salam. As you know, the rod of Musa alayhi salam transforms into a serpent, into a snake, all of a sudden. There is evolution in that. So they have to explain this. So Allah doesn't need any evolution to create, which is not mentioned by Allah in the Holy Quran. We don't see anywhere at all in the Holy Quran. And moreover, you don't see any scientific evidence for that. And it is very surprising and very irrational to see some Muslims trying to back up Darwinism, which doesn't have any scientific background. I have to repeat this. It's not something that, the theory of evolution is not something that it has like one or two small evidences, but no, it's not like that. If they have more than 100 arguments, hundreds of them are false or lies. So there isn't any single scientific, you know, argument that can put forward to defend Darwinism. So our brothers, they have to change their mind. They have to see, they have to improve their knowledge about the theory of evolution and see how irrational it is, how unscientific it is. Because, you know, just a small student, a child can understand when somebody comes and tells him or her, okay, fish stepped out of the water and started to walk. Or dinosaurs, they started to fly. So this is funny. I mean, they want us to believe something so irrelevant like that, like the dinosaurs started to fly, or the fish started to walk on land. So that kind of thing happens in the fairy tales. Like frogs, for example, they transform into prints. This is possible, but only in fairy tales, not in science. They're trying to defend this internal, in the name of science. So this is so irrational, and Muslim brothers, they have to rethink, reconsider, and they have to rethink what they stand for, because they are trying to defend a pagan religion just to prove that there is no God. Pasha, they're trying to do that. Atheists, they're trying to use this so-called scientific theory to disprove the existence of Allah. And they have to be very careful about what they're backing. And it can cause many people to doubt about their faith and, may Allah forbid, lose their faith in Allah. Inshallah.
Early on, you spoke about, the miserable failure of the Darwinists and the evolutionists, which in turn caused people with rational thinking to turn towards the concept of one God who created this universe, who created every single atom in this universe, who created the human beings, the animals, and so forth. Now, together with people like Brother Harun Yahya, yourself, and this group that has refuted this, there are some doctors of Christianity and other religions that refute and refuse this false theory of Darwinism. Now, are the proofs used by both sides, the Muslims as well as the other religions, to refute this theory of Darwinism, are they both the same, or is the Muslim concept of the refutation of Darwinism a bit different from the others that do refuse and refute this concept?
Yes. There are some people in the United States, they call themselves Intelligent Design Movement. So there are some esteemed scientists who are disturbing the theory of evolution. But of course, it is quite different from what Brother Abdel Mokhtar is saying. They say that the theory of evolution is not scientific and it's not correct. Okay, good. I mean, until that point, it's good. We agree. But when you ask this question, okay, if the theory of evolution is not correct, if there is an intelligent design, like you say, like the people in the United States say, okay, who is the owner of this intelligent design? And they say, we don't know. So they say that this intelligence might belong to an extraterrestrial that comes out of space, or some of them, they even think that they're agnostics, and they doubt about everything, including the existence of Allah as well. So, whereas, in Islam, what we understand from the Holy Quran, when Prophet Musa goes to the Pharaoh, it directly says, I am the messenger of Allah, and you're supposed to obey me. There is Allah. Okay? So this is so straightforward. Muslims doesn't need any hidden language to hide the existence of Allah. They don't say intelligent design whatsoever. No, intelligent design, Allah doesn't need any design to create things. Allah creates with his command B, and there it is. It is so simple for Allah. But Allah, when you analyze things, Allah creates in a way that you can understand. You can say that there is a intelligence in that, but of course Allah is beyond the necessity of design and intelligence. So inshallah, Allah doesn't need any design. And there's a risk in that. When you say people, when you prove to people that the theory of evolution is not correct, and then they will ask the question, okay, who is the owner of this intelligence? When you say we don't know, you can forward, you can direct people into false ideologies. And then people can say, okay, I decided to believe from now on to Buddha, or I don't know, maybe any other, you know, irrational ideology, or something else. So this is a risk. This is like accepting not to invite people to Islam and directing them into another false irreligious belief. So Rabbi Abdul Akbar always says that Allah doesn't need any intelligent design. Allah doesn't need any design to create things. And Brother Abdul Akbar always straightforwardly says, there is Allah. There is no there is evolution. Allah created everything out of nothingness, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah so much for explaining briefly this concept of evolution and Darwinism and its refutation. Now, moving away from this theory of evolution, more towards the individual Harun Yahya and his books that he has authored, the first question that is very common in the minds of the readers of the books authored by Brother Harun Yahya is that we see something very unique on all his books, all his publications, that there is the picture of the seal of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Is there any particular reason why he uses the seal on his publications and sure, his website as well?
Yeah, sure. Let me answer that. So, let me refer to his own sentences, which is published in his internet site, which is very important, I think, because I don't want to add anything personal to that. It is very important, like you said. Brother Abdul Matan Oraganokta wrote like this. I will read it to you directly, inshallah. The symbolic meaning for the use by Brother Abdul Akbar of the seal of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the cover of his books is linked to their content. This represents that the Quran is the last book and the last word of Allah, and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last of his messengers. Under the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah, which is the teachings of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Brother Abdul Muttar makes it his purpose to disprove each fundamental tenet of godless ideology and to have the last word, so as to completely silence the objections raised against religion. He uses the seal of the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who attained ultimate wisdom and moral perfection, as a prayer of his intention to offer the last word. So this is his own sentence about why he is using the seal of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakumullah for answering that question. The next question that we would like to pose to you is, we came across the famous magnum opus and the masterpiece authored by Brother Harun Yahya, the Atlas of Creation, and he sent this to the European Committee as well as the universities. Now, we read that this was a surprise to them. Is there any particular reason why a book authored by a Muslim, by a Turkish, known as Atlas of Creation, and this actually surprised the scientists and the professors there at these universities and these committees?
Let me first, I would like to first, give you some examples about the impact of the Atlas of Creation on France, which is admitted by the major media in France, just to show you that how important the Atlas of Creation was in terms of refuting the revolution in France. So, in February 2007, one of the biggest newspapers, which is called Le Figaro, they said the attack of Islamic creationism to France. In another newspaper, Le Monde, at the same time, they said the creationists are on the attack towards the French schools. And at the same time, Gaullism, they said Harun Yahya is certainly the most active preacher of creationism with the power of international Harun Yahya publications. And so on after La Libération, this is the name of the newspaper, in April 2008, they said the efforts of creation caused a complete panic. And in Le Point, in October 2007, they prepared an article saying, save Darwin. So these, you know, these titles, they're like the acceptance of that the theory of evolution is completely scientifically refuted. And someone else said, who they said that in France, it's like a cold shower. So all these people, all these media accepting the huge impact of the atlas of creation in France, and of course, since they were so cautious about creationism in France, because their ideology, the system, is going to collapse. So they are panicked. So this is why in European Council, the Council of Europe, they started to ban the book. They decided to ban the Atlas of Creation, and they removed it from the schools, from high schools. And they banned from the education system, because they certainly know that the Atlas of Creation, what Brother Adonata says in his huge book, that species did not change at all. He put the pictures of fossils and the real example, and he compared, and he simply said, look, the original fossil and the living example, no change at all, no evolution whatsoever. So that was a very simple message in the Atlas of Creation, and it should run, mashallah. So this is why they certainly understood that the evolution is just a lie. It's just a scientific lie. And this is why they were so excited, and immediately they removed it from the schools.
Okay. The book that you spoke about, The Atlas of Creation, authored by Brother Harun Yahya, if our listeners here in Britain or our other listeners that are listening to us live over www.radioramadancroydon.com, if they like to purchase this book, will it be available to them in Britain or in other countries? Or do they have to order it directly from Turkey?
They have to refer to the website of Harun Yahya. First of all, they have to visit harunyahya.com, and there is another website which is called bookglobal.com, www.bookglobal.com, and the necessary information is given in these websites. Who are the what bookstores are selling the works of Harun Yahya in the UK? There are many of them. So they can get this knowledge from bookglobal.com and from harunyahya.com, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
And they can directly order Harun Yahya books from within the UK. They don't need to buy it from Turkey whatsoever. So the cheapest and the most appropriate way to do it is from the bookstores who are selling Harun Yahya works inside the UK.
Okay. So our listeners could visit the website mentioned by Brother Ali, bookglobal.com, or you could visit alternatively the website of Brother Harun Yahya, harunyahya.com. Going to the next.
Meanwhile, I have to let our brothers and sisters know that all the information in the website are free of charge. So they can read it, they can duplicate, they can distribute it, and there is no copyright at all. So this is just for the da'wah use, inshallah.
Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts and the efforts of Brother Harun Yahya. Going to the next question that we have, has Brother Harun Yahya been actively taking part in any debates?
Well, in Turkey, yes, but outside of Turkey, he prefers to stay in Istanbul for the moment because he's much focused on his lectures that he's giving on a daily basis in Harun Yahya TV. give our brothers and sisters this Harun Yahya TV. It's 9 p.m. with UK time, 9 p.m. He talks for about 2.5-3 hours each and every night. And so that they can have an opportunity to listen to him in person, he can see with his own sentences, and there's a simultaneous translation when he talks. So they can listen to his lecture live on the internet, inshallah. This is the first reason why he's not traveling outside of Turkey for the moment, but inshallah in the near future. For the debate, as I've mentioned before, this is us, the spokesman for Brother Adnan Oktar, who is representing, who is debating outside of Turkey, inshallah.
Jazakumullah. The question that we have now relates to this debating factor. Recently we came across a bit of information that we received with regards to Brother Harun Yahya challenging the famous atheist and evolutionary biologist Sir Richard Dawkins. Is it true that Brother Harun Yahya extended an invitation and challenged Richard Dawkins to a one-on-one debate? Has this offer been accepted?
This invitation was extended to him from Turkey as well as from the UK, within UK as well. Brother Adnan Oktar published an advertising in the local British newspapers, in the major one, saying that Harun Yahya is inviting Professor Richard Dawkins into a debate about the origin of life. And we offered him to come to Turkey, and we said that we will cover all his expenses, and we're going to make him feel very safe in Turkey, inshallah. We provided him any means that he might need. And moreover, if he doesn't want to do that, if he doesn't want to come to Turkey, we said, Brother Adnan Oktar said, that we can also go to the UK, you know, to debate him wherever he wants, in a TV channel, in a radio channel, or in an open public conference. Under any circumstances, he did not accept. Why? Because he's scared, he's afraid. Because he certainly knows that within 5 minutes, all that he says is going to be refuted by him. So that's an open... there's another fact. Richard Dawkins debates students. He debates clerics, Christian clerics. He debates some people who think that he can handle them. But he's like running away from Brother Adnan Oktar. Why? Why is he doing that? Why is he not brave enough to defend his ideology about what he thinks about the origin of life in front of Brother Adnan Oktar? Why can't he do that? We would like to ask this question once again through your radio channel in the UK. You know, we want to call him again. This is at least for the 146 times, I don't remember how many times we invited him, but we want to repeat his invitation again. We can come to UK, we can come to the Oxford University to his department, in any lecture hall, or in any hall that he can show us, in a TV, in a radio channel. We want to debate him and show the whole humanity that Richard Dawkins, what he defends is nonsense, non-scientific, irrational, a fairy tale, a lie, it's a pagan religion. So if he's brave enough to debate Adnan Oktar, he's going to join. We don't take these explanations like he's not debating the Christianism. No, it's not like that. I have seen many videos in YouTube where he's debating a Christian cleric. So how does this happen? I mean, if he says that he doesn't, you know, debate any creationist, how is that possible that we see some videos in the YouTube that he is debating clerics, Christian clerics? So he has to explain this. So if he's debating Christian clerics, he has to debate Muslims as well. He has to debate us as well, Harun Yahya, Brother Abdul Nasser as well. So we want an explanation from him. We tell him that, please, you don't have to run away because we're going to find you today, tomorrow, or in the soonest time. Your ideology cannot escape. Of course, we don't have nothing to do with his personality. But what he defends is scientifically refuted. It's nonsense, it's irrational, it's just a pagan religion, inshallah.
Inshallah. I'm sure the challenge still stands as bold as it is to Sir Richard Dawkins. The next question that we would like to ask you before we wrap up this interview is, do you think it's appropriate, or do you think you will emphasize the fact that it is important for all Muslims to at least know or educate themselves sufficient about this false theory of evolution in order to invite people towards Islam?
Of course, yes. I mean, there are some brothers and sisters, they say that, of course, you know, we're not coming from ape-like creatures. Of course, we have a common ancestor who is Adam alayhi salam and Eve alayhi salam. We don't have any, you know, common ancestors that like the evolutionists they're trying to explain. That's a fact. But there's much more to it. I mean, what we understand, what we read from the Holy Quran is different. Allah orders, commands Muslims to intellectually fight against disbelief, against irreligious ideologies. And how are we going to do this? This is important. This is important to understand that the current mainstream irreligious idea of our day is the theory of evolution. Wherever you go in the UK, in the high school, the children of our Muslim brothers and sisters, they're going to be educated in their high schools with that kind of lies. So when a 12, 13-year-old boy comes to his father and says about the evolutionist argument, does our brother want to find himself that, may Allah forbid, their children might be directed into another direction? Is it something, you know, is this a kind of situation that we would like to be pleased with? No. I wouldn't let them know this, you know, in no way, not my children or ourselves neither. We don't want to find ourselves in that kind of situation. So first of all, we have to get educated ourselves for our social lives, for our family. And of course, moreover, we have to defend Islam through refusing the theory of evolution to irreligious people, to atheists, to Darwinists. So it is not something like it's a must, I have to say. I mean, it's not a luxury. To get involved in science, to know that there's evolution, it's scientific education, is a must. It's farz, inshallah. Because the third evolution is the fitna of the end times. And each and every Muslim should know how to refute it, inshallah.
Jazakumullah. The last question before we wrap up, a more general and broad question. Do you have any message, any parting advices for our listeners here in the United Kingdom?
Yes, of course. I want to give good news to our brothers and sisters, inshallah. We are passing through a period of hardships that we are experiencing in many different Muslim countries all over the world. I'm not differentiating one from another, but these are the good news for the coming golden age. We are now experiencing end times. Inshallah, we believe that according to the hadith of our Prophet ﷺ, we believe that Mehdi Aleyhisselam's come and Isa Aleyhisselam's come. And inshallah, not more than 10 years, the Islamic Union is going to be established by Mehdi Aleyhisselam and Isa Aleyhisselam. And there's going to be a golden age where there are going to be no wars, no weapons, inshallah. And it is said in the hadith that in the time of Mehdi Aleyhisselam, not a single nose will bleed, inshallah. So these times are so close. And this is going to happen, inshallah. Most certainly, it is said to us in Surah An-Nur, verse 55, inshallah. The dominion of Islam over every religion, any other religion, is given in the Holy Quran. And that's the promise of Allah. And this is going to happen, inshallah, 100%. So what matters is that, you know, it's that kind of a huge train who's going to a certain target. So what matters is where we are, you know, what we are doing in that. Are we putting the necessary efforts to establish the Islamic Union? So we have to pray for that, inshallah. We have to forget about the differences in different Islamic societies. We have to support, we have to love each other, and we have to pray for the coming of appearance of Mehdi alayhisalam and Isa alayhisalam. And inshallah, as a final sentence, I would like to congratulate our beautiful, you know, month Ramadan, and I would like to celebrate it, Ramadan Mubarak, inshallah. And I would like to convey the best regards of Brother Adnan Akhtar from Istanbul, Turkey, inshallah.
Jazakumullah so much for those kind words and for passing the regards. Same is the case here. You could pass our regards from Radio Ramadan Croydon and our listeners here to yourself as well, your family, and to your group that are doing a wonderful job. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all a befitting reward. Jazakumullah so much.
All of us, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah so much, Brother Ali Sadun Engin, for joining us live on Radio Ramadan, Croydon 87.9 FM, all the way from Turkey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you and accept us. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.